number of passages dealing about what the Bible says about food. And I was just talking to June earlier, and she said, as long as she's been in church, she's never heard a message on food, gluttony, and things like that. How many of you have ever heard a message on food? You've heard one. You have heard a message on food. How many of you have not heard a message on food ever? Okay, good. So a good number of us. I don't think I ever have, okay? So I can promise you that this is all new stuff, okay? So, but the Bible talks a lot about this, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus on two sides of it today. We're going to focus on eating too much and eating too little, deal with both, because both kind of coincide. I was originally just going to deal with one and deal with the other on another night, but they both kind of coincided too much. It was just a bit too hard to kind of separate them. So let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in. As always, if you have questions or anything like this, it's a little bit more, perhaps a little bit more teachy, but if you have questions, then feel free to ask. And those of you that are online, if you're watching online, I know we have several that are. If you have questions or thoughts, please feel free to comment. I'd be glad to answer those after the service as best I can, okay? Let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in what the Bible says about food and eating. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can study it here this evening. Give us understanding. Give us help, Father. Lord, as we think about addictive behaviors and deal with some of the things we have and are going to be dealing with, Lord, oftentimes we can look at alcohol, and we can look at drugs, and we can look at various different things that other people do, but Lord, we don't focus on the things that we struggle with. So Lord, help us here tonight as we examine what your word says a lot about this topic. Lord, give us strength, give us help, give us understanding, and Father, help us to have a proper relationship with this thing that you've blessed us with called food. Help us to understand what your word says about these things. And we'll thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. All right, we're going to have a lot of people helping me with verses because we're going to be jumping around a lot, okay? So be ready to volunteer for that. Okay, we're going to start off. Let's all turn, if we can, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. Genesis, chapter number 2. And we're going to break this up into three parts. Number one, we'll talk about the benefit of food, that food is a good thing, so we're not opposed to it. Then we'll talk about the danger of overeating and then the danger of undereating. But Genesis chapter number 2, very familiar passage probably to a lot of you, but I'm going to look at it from a slightly different perspective here. Genesis chapter number 2. And we'll begin in verse number 16. Genesis 2 and verse 16. Okay, actually, let's start in verse 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man," by the way, this is before sin, before anything, "saying," verse 16, "of every tree of the garden thou mayest," can we say the next two words? Ready? "Freely eat." So, can I tell you, starting off, number one, the benefit of food. Food is a good thing. We can go to the next slide. The benefit of food. Food's a good thing. God wanted us to need to eat. Food is necessary. Now, you say, why did God want us to need to eat? I have no idea, but he did. God made man before the fall, before anything, with the necessity of us eating. Creation, God created it to be a necessity for us to eat. Not only is it a created necessity, number two, it's a given necessity. If I can have someone look up Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 24. Can someone, I saw Waylon's hand first, and then Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 13. Can someone get that one? Steve, if you can get that one, buddy. And then Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18. Can someone do that one? Okay, and Stephen, I see your hand on that one. Ecclesiastes is Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, okay, if you have trouble looking it up. Okay, but it is a given necessity, and these verses are very helpful when we're talking about this topic. Waylon, you there? Ecclesiastes 2:24, buddy.
Good
good. So the Bible is saying it's a good thing. As a matter of fact, Solomon here says there's nothing better on this earth, obviously, minus heaven and all that stuff, than for a man to work and by that work to produce something that he can eat. Steve, if you can read yours, go ahead. Good. So these things are given by God, and so food is good. So we're not in any way saying food is a terrible thing. We're not ascetics. We don't believe that food is evil or something like that. No, food is good. It's necessary. And more than that, these passages clearly illustrate, and there are a lot of others that we could use, that this is a gift of God. It comes from the hand of God. Food is a good thing for us. Number one, it's a created necessity. Number two, it's a given necessity. Number three, it's an enjoyable necessity. Stephen, go ahead and read yours, Ecclesiastes 5:18. Good. So he said, Solomon here is writing, of course, and he said it's good and comely. That means it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to go and to be able to eat. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 15. Then I commended mirth because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that thou shalt abide with him of his labor, the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. So again, it's an enjoyable thing, and there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with enjoying good food, okay? I like eating. I hope you do too, and that's a good thing. Number one, food is necessary. These are just some of the basic groundwork, and then we're going to go into the real struggles. Number two, food is a blessing. You might like this next point. Sweets are okay, biblically. Proverbs 24:13. Can someone look that up? Proverbs 24:13. Steve, go ahead. And Waylon, Proverbs 25 and verse 16. Sweets are fine, of course, in moderation, but sweets are fine. When you're there, Steve, let me know. You there? Go ahead, buddy. Good. So he says, eat the honey because it's good. So it's not a problem to eat sweets, okay? So some of you ladies are like, yes, I can give up my diet or whatever, okay? But it's not a problem to necessarily eat those things. God is fine with that, okay? Now, if you want to be careful with what you eat, that's perfectly fine. And you certainly shouldn't eat too much, as Waylon's verse says. Go ahead, Waylon. Good. So we shouldn't go crazy with these things, but sweets are fine in their place. Beyond that, fats are fine in their place, okay? So Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 10. Again, we're just setting a groundwork, okay? Nehemiah 8 and verse number 10. I'll say this. The other day, we were on it wasn't really vacation. I was doing the youth rally down at the coast, but we were over there, and Becky probably wouldn't mind me saying this. I hope she doesn't. I didn't ask her. But we were over there, and we were kind of eating whatever the church was kind of providing, and so we'd had a lot of pizza, and she went, and she said, well, you know, is it okay? You know, I haven't really been doing my low-carb thing as much, because that's what they were doing. And I looked up this verse, Nehemiah 8 and verse number 10. Nehemiah says to the people, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the reality is this, hey, food is fine in its place. It's good. It's acceptable. God wants you to enjoy food. Now, I say all this to say this. We're getting here because we need to understand that there's a balance in this thing called food. Does that make sense? When we talked about alcohol a couple weeks ago, alcohol was something that very much God was like, okay, avoid it. Don't go near it, right? That's what Proverbs says, right? Avoid it, don't want it, don't desire it. When you're talking about food, it's a little bit different, okay? Let's continue. Food is number three. Food is not everything. Let's all turn to Romans 14 and verse 17 because this verse is so important. So let's all turn there. Romans 14, 17. Y'all turn in? Hopefully, Romans 14, 17. And hopefully you at home, if you're watching by live stream, because we got a lot of people out here tonight, hopefully you're turning as well. Romans 14 and verse number 17. Okay, Romans 14, 17. Let's read it together if we can once we're there, okay? Romans 14 and verse 17, because this sets the groundwork for what we're going to talk about later, okay? Romans 14 and verse number 17. Ready? We all there? Yes? Yes, good. Let's read it together. Romans 14, 17. Ready? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what's he saying? He's saying nice and simply, if I can summarize, food is a good thing. Yes? Food is necessary. Food is a blessing. Food is something that should be enjoyed. All of those things. But food is not everything. Now, both of these eating behaviors, these addictive food behaviors, stem from a problem on point number three. Right? They stem from food is everything. Either, we're going to look at in just a second, overeating, that food is everything, I need to just eat and eat and eat, and then I'll be satisfied, or undereating, because I want to totally avoid food. Either way, both are wrong, because food is not everything. As a matter of fact, food is a very small part of our life. Something God's given to us, yes, but it's a very small part of our life. So we need to make sure we set it in its place. Food is not God, right? Whether eating a lot or not eating much, food is not God. God is God. And Paul here very clearly to the Romans says, hey, the kingdom of God is not food, it's not drink, it's love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so number one, benefit of food. Number two, we're going to look at overeating. And we have a few statistics, as we normally do with these. So the first one, okay, this is a chart of obesity in the United States. Okay, this one, this chart only went to 2016. I was trying to get some more close numbers, but the census thing hadn't gotten all the details yet. But so here it is within from 2000 up to 2016, it had started at 30% of adults were considered obese. Okay? Not overweight. I'm considered overweight, believe it or not. Okay? Not overweight, obese. Okay? Now in the United States, nearly 40%, 39.6% of adults, nearly one half of all adults are considered obese in the United States. That's crazy numbers. Kids is the bottom line there. Children, 18%, nearly one in five kids is considered obese in the United States. Okay, so this is obviously a problem in the U.S., okay? So we want to look at it. We want to examine it. Number one, the dangers of overeating. Oh, I'm sorry. I have another one if we can. Common conditions related to obesity. These are the top five. Number one is heart disease. Excess weight can elevate cholesterol levels, increase blood pressure, increase stress on your heart. By the way, heart disease is one of the number one killers in the United States. Number two is type 2 diabetes. Obesity can lead to insulin resistance, which can cause blood sugar levels to remain high. Number three, depression. People with obesity are 45% more likely to develop depression rather than those with a more healthy BMI. Cancer, as many as 40% of all cancer has been linked to obesity, including colon, ovary, and breast cancer. And then number five, premature death. Individuals who are obese tend to die about 6 years earlier than those with a healthier weight. So, obesity clearly is an issue. Now, I want to be very clear and very honest, okay? not all obesity is food related. I understand that. I understand that there are health related concerns related to that. I understand there's water retention disorder and things like that. But you would agree that the vast majority of obesity is related to food, right? That's the vast majority. So that's what we're going to focus on here. We're not demeaning anybody. If you have something like that, that's perfectly fine and understandable. And you need to try and find help as best you can if you have something that's not food-related. But most people, it's food-related, or at least partially. So let's look at it. Number one, the dangers of overeating. If we can go to the next slide, Brian. The dangers of overeating. First off, let's look at some Bible warnings against overeating. Okay? And we're going to look up some of these, and hopefully these will kind of help us to kind of see the issues here. Can someone look up Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 7? Okay, someone besides Stephen. Let's have Brother Ronald, okay? Ecclesiastes 6 and verse number 7. Proverbs 23 and verse number 20. Can someone look that one up for us? Somebody? Daniel, go ahead, Proverbs 23 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Stephen, let's go with that one. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Matthew 4 and verse number 4. Can someone look that one up? Wayland, I saw your hand. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And then Matthew 6, 4. One more. Matthew 6 and verse number 4. Steve will give you that one, okay? All right, good. So, some warnings against overeating. These are Bible principles. And by the way, there are a lot of verses dealing specifically with obesity. I'm not covering every one. I'm just kind of trying to lump things together as best I can and kind of create some semblance of an outline here. There's a lot of verses in the book of Proverbs that deal with this. We're just kind of giving the high notes, okay? Number one, it is a constant problem. Who had Ecclesiastes 6, 7? Brother Ronald, go ahead and read that for us, brother. Good. What's he saying? He's saying all your labor is for your mouth, and yet your appetite is never filled. You say, wait a second. My appetite can be filled. I've been to Golden Corral, right? Or, oh, man, my appetite can be filled. I've been to this place or that place or the other. No, what he's saying is not that you can't be filled temporarily, but that even when you're filled, you don't stay filled, right? No matter what, there you always get hungry again, right? Yeah. Here's what he's saying, if I can summarize. What Solomon's saying is, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he had lived for all these different things that the earthly man lives for, and he found them all to be empty. And in this passage, he's looking at his life, and he had lived for the appetites of the flesh, and he said, hey, no matter how much labor, no matter how much you have, you always will want a little bit more. I've seen videos. How many of you have ever seen that My 800-Pound Life show? You ever seen that? Oh, that show, like, hurts me. It really does. My grandpa, before he passed away, he was obese and had struggled with his weight for most of his life. And that show really, really hurts me. But shows like that, they get so overweight. Some of them try to lose the weight. Some of them don't. And they are kind of contented staying there. Why? Because it's a constant thing. When you start down that path, you'll find that it never really fills the void. It really is an addiction. Just like an alcoholic wants that next drink, and he might be satisfied when he's drunk, but then he goes right back to it again. So also the glutton, the Bible word, wants that next meal and then wants a little bit more because it never really fills that void that we'll look at in just a second. Number one, it's a constant problem. Number two, it's a contagious problem. Now, I'm not saying by this that you can get sick by it, but what I am saying is that God on numerous occasions gives warnings to avoid people that are gluttonous in their behavior. Who had Proverbs 23:20? Daniel, go ahead, buddy. Good. So he says, don't be around those people. Don't be among wine bibbers. Obviously, that's people that are alcoholics. We looked at that last time. But then the second one is riotous eaters of flesh. That word riotous eaters is the same word that we get glutton from, okay? So this is not people that eat in a crazy way, okay? This is literally people that eat and eat and eat. And he says, don't even be around them. There's several other passages we'll look at that cover the same thing. Why would that be? Well, I think in a sense he's saying, hey, if you're around that, then you will tend to act that way. You'll tend to go there, and obviously you shouldn't do that. Number three, it's a control problem. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Who had that one? Stephen, go ahead, buddy. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Good. So what's he saying? Paul here is writing, and he's saying, hey, I have to control my body. I have to pull my body down, so to speak, not give in to what my body says, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. What's he talking to cast away? He's talking about someone that loses their ability to speak on an issue. He's saying nice and simply, he's saying, hey, I could lose, we would call it our testimony, I could lose everything that God's called me to do. Why? Because I'm controlled too much by my body, right? That's what he's saying. And certainly, when we're talking about food, that certainly can be the case. You ever, probably many of you have done this, you ever seen a pastor and he's really, really obese and he's preaching to you about, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, right? And you're sitting there and you're kind of thinking, well, don't keep eating, right? You ever been there before? Yeah? That's why I always wear my Spanx. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, folks, listen. We can, if we're not careful, go and lose our reputation, lose our testimony, because the Bible still says, man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart, but man does look on the outward. So we can lose our testimony if we don't control our body. We don't keep our body in subjection. We're not in control. Number one, it's a constant problem. Number two, it's a contagious problem. Number three, it's a controlling problem. Number four, it's a crucial problem. Matthew 4 and verse number 4. Waylon, did you have that one? Go ahead, buddy. Good. God, Jesus here, of course, is answering the devil as he's tempting him. And the devil said, take these stones, make them into bread. Of course, wouldn't necessarily be an issue with him making stones into bread. Bread is good, like we just looked at. So why would it have been an issue? It would have been an issue because Jesus would have been making bread more important than his time fasting and praying and being with the Lord. And the reality is this, folks. Whenever you're talking about any addiction, we'll come back to this idea a lot. Whenever you're talking about any addictive behavior, what it comes down to is you're taking that behavior and you're putting that on the throne of your life. Right? Whether it's alcohol, whether it's overeating or undereating, as we'll look at in just a second, whatever it is, you're taking that and you're saying, this, you are now my boss. You are now what's most important. Matthew 6, 4, who had that one? Matthew 6, 4. Steve, go ahead, read that one. I might have given you the wrong reference, buddy. Matthew 6, 4. Yeah, no, that ain't the right one. Actually, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be Matthew 6, 24. Okay, Matthew 6, 24, it says this. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or earthly stuff. So, catch this. Here's what he's saying. He's saying if you go and you make your eating the priority in your life, then by extension you are automatically going and making God not the priority. Does that make sense? So it's a very important topic. That's why the Bible deals with it so much. It is important because in so doing, we are going and saying, this is more important than you, God. What you say doesn't matter. I want to do this, and so therefore I'm going to do this. And it doesn't matter what activity it is, whether it's just eating food or whether it's some kind of sexual or other kind of sin, it doesn't matter. Those kind of behaviors take God off the throne and put our sin on it. Number one, warnings against overeating. Number two, the reasons for overeating. So you say, okay, so preacher, how do I have victory over it? Well, you have to first go and you have to understand why you're doing it. And there are several different reasons that you could be wanting to do this overeating. I came up here with four of them, okay? First off, it could be a flesh problem. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 5 says, the flesh mindeth the things of the flesh, the spirit mindeth the things of the spirit. What's he saying? He's saying nice and simply here that if you are living in the flesh, you are going to care about the things of the flesh. Right? What is the flesh? That's the body. Right? So if I am living a fleshly life, then I'm going to be more focused on what my body wants. And if I'm living a spiritual life, I'll be more focused on what God wants. So number one, I would say, if you have an overeating issue, number one, you have to examine your life. All of these things are externals, right? They're fruit, correct? Would you agree? It's a fruit that grows. So you have to examine, what are you prioritizing? If you're prioritizing eating and being gluttonous and, you know, just eating just to eat, right? Then what are you living for? You're living for your flesh, right? Whatever my body wants, that's what I'll give it. And that's a very dangerous place to live, Christian friend. That's a very dangerous place to live. But if you're living in the Spirit, then you'll go, and at least in part, and the first point here, you will go in mind, care about the things of the Spirit. So when God says, eat, but don't eat too much, take care of your body, like we'll look at in just a second, then you'll do that because you're not fleshly minded, you're spiritually minded. Does that make sense? So it's, number one, it's a flesh problem. If you're living in the flesh, you're living only to please this body, then you're gonna struggle with it. Number two, it's a focus problem. We read at the very beginning, Romans 14 and verse number 7, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Philippians chapter number 3, let's all turn there if we can. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, and we'll look at verse number 19 and 20. Philippians 3, verses 19 and 20. This is Paul again talking to the church at Philippi, and he's talking about people that had come into the church and had corrupted the church and brought the church away from the things of the Lord and toward fleshly, secular things. Okay, Philippians 3, verse number, let's start in verse number 18 to catch us up with context. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction. Can we read the next phrase together? Ready? Whose God is their belly. Whose glory is their shame. Who mind earthly things. So what's their focus? These people that had crept into the church and caused the church to get away from Christ and into different types of sinful behaviors. What is their main problem? Their main problem is a focus on themselves, isn't it? Verse 19, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, they mind earthly things, they are so concerned about this earth that they lose sight of what is to come. Verse 20, look at it. For our conversation, our life, our focus, our mentality is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, causes for overeating. Number one, it's a flesh problem. You're giving into what your flesh wants, and you're fleshly minded. You're not being spiritually minded and responding in the Spirit. Number two, it's a focus problem. You're focused more on, and by the way, speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to everybody else, I'm considered overweight, okay? So speaking to myself just as much, okay? Kingdom, technically, okay? It's all my muscle, but no. Okay, number two, The focus is on ourselves. Focus isn't on the Lord. Number three, the fullness, specifically of Christ's problem. If we can, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Passage that's often dealt with when we consider these things. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Daniel, can you check the AC? It is really warm up here. I don't know if it's warm down there. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. It says there, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, you've probably heard this passage a lot of times, but let me real quick summarize. What's that? It must be. So, I told you, overweight, I sweat a lot. So, but the reality is, it's not just talking about this body belongs to God, although that's certainly an application. It's talking about this body is filled with God. You see, the temple was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit came into the temple and it resided there. And therefore, there wasn't room for anything else. When people went and worshiped, when the temple was first built under Solomon, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord came and so filled the temple that none of the people could even enter the temple. That the idea here is very simple, that God fills us. And so when we feel like we need to fill ourselves with something else, again, not against regular, fine, normal eating, but when we try to fill ourselves with something else, then that's just showing that we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So we have to examine ourselves. Again, it's going back to the Spirit, just like we looked at in Romans 8:5 with the flesh problem. And finally, number four, it's a future problem. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter number 6. Let's look at verse number 13. We're in the same passage. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13. You there? 1 Corinthians 6, 13 says this. "Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them." What's he saying? He's saying, if you live for your belly, right? That's a temporary thing. Correct? This body that I have, yes? This body that I own, that I am in, is this a permanent body, yes or no? No. Now, should I take care of it, yes or no? Yes, I should, right? The Bible says bodily exercise is profitable. I should take care of it, but this body is temporary. And if I'm living like this is what matters, this is what I need to feed, this is what I need to fill, this is what matters, this is what's valuable, then I'm losing sight of the life that's coming. Right? I can only live for one thing. Can't live for both. So what's God saying specifically? Can I boil it all down into one thing? The issue with overeating, the issue with gluttony, the Bible word, the issue with that kind of thing, the issue with eating-related obesity, it stems, if I can boil it all down to one thing, it stems from you focusing on yourself and what your body wants and not what God wants. You lose sight of everything else and you say, I want this food, so I'll eat this food. I want this, so I'll eat it. I want this, so I'll eat it. And by the way, you really destroy the temple, the place, the function, the purpose that your body has. You will not be as effective, and it destroys what you could be for God. And by the way, the devil uses it. Anna, stop, or we'll have to deal with it afterwards. Thank you. The devil uses it to go and to cause problems. There are lots of Christian leaders, there are lots of pastors whose lives have been cut short, whose ministries have been cut short because they've struggled with this thing. So we have to be careful with it. Again, food is not God one way or the other, right? I don't make food God in terms of me going and being healthy with my food. I make God God in terms of being healthy with my food. right? But if I'm not saying no to my body sometimes, saying no, I don't want to eat that bag of chips, or no, I don't want to eat that junk food, or no, I don't want to eat those cookies or whatever, then what's going to happen is I am saying yes to my flesh. And the more times I say yes to my flesh, the easier it becomes to say yes to my flesh. Am I making sense? And the next time, the flesh may not want a bag of chips. The next time, the flesh may want something that's clearly wrong in the sight of God. Am I making sense here? So, nice and simply, number one, the dangers of overeating. Now, I could spend a lot more time talking about that. But again, like I said, I wanted to deal with both of these, partially because it's been impacted in our church as we look at number two, the dangers of undereating. Okay? Now, we may not think of that as much, but it is nonetheless very important and very concerning in our world. If we can go to the next slide, Brian. Some statistics here, okay? I know this is probably hard for you to read, so let me just read it for you, okay? In the top corner, it says, eating disorders affect both males and females and often strike during adolescence or the teen years. If not treated, they can be serious, even fatal consequences. Some surprising eating disorder statistics. Americans with an eating disorder, 8 million Americans have some kind of eating disorder, and specifically, oftentimes, this is related to undereating or purging, something like that, okay? 50% of Americans know someone with an eating disorder. Of course, our church would know someone with that. 10 to 15% of people with anorexia or bulimia are males. 95% of people with eating disorders are aged 12 to 25. 95%. 18 to 20 percent of anorexics die within 20 years of contracting the disease. So one in five die from anorexia. Specifically, there's a difference between the two. Anorexia is the desire to not eat. Bulimia is the desire to eat and then to purge or to throw up. Okay, so those are two different things. Sarah in the church that we've been praying for quite some time, she's been open and honest about all of this. Sarah struggles with anorexia, okay, the not eating, okay? There are some people that I've dealt with in the past that have struggled with bulimia. Oftentimes, that's not as obvious. As a matter of fact, sometimes people that struggle with bulimia are actually overweight on the outside, okay? But nonetheless, both of them are focused on food in the sense of avoiding it, right? Getting it out, keeping it away, rather than taking too much of it. But both of these tie together. So I couldn't really separate them into two messages because it would be re-preaching the same message, okay? So we're going to cover the second one, okay? Under-eating. The dangers of under-eating. If we can go to the next slide, Brian. The dangers of under-eating. First off, warnings against under-eating. Some of these we've already looked at, so I'll go through this fairly quickly. Number one, food is a good thing. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 13 says, every man should eat. It is the gift of God. Food is good. Number two, food is fuel for your body. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 18. It is good and comely or beautiful to eat because this is God's portion. This is what God provided to fuel your body. Food is good. Food is fuel. Number three, food has its place. All food has its place, as we looked at earlier, Proverbs 25 and verse 16. Honey, eat as much, if you find honey, eat as much as is sufficient. So honey is fine. Food is good in its place. By the way, can I say for any of you that are dieting or doing those things, that is fine, that's a good thing, but don't let your diet get to the point where your diet is God. Does that make sense? If you can't, if you have to feel guilty when you go and eat something that, you know, you just want to enjoy eating, then you better be careful that diet's not becoming God. Y'all with me here? Am I making sense? Dealing with Sarah for the several months we've been dealing with her, that's really what happened in her life. She was a young lady. She wanted to lose some weight. She wanted to feel more attractive or what have you. And so she started eating a little bit less and then eating a little bit less. And then, oh, well, I need to avoid this because this has carbs. And, oh, I need to avoid this because this is, you know, more fatty and I need to avoid this. And before you know it, she'd only eat 5 to 7 things. That's it, right? Why? Because eventually, and I've told Sarah this, and, you know, I'll tell you all just in case you know anyone that's struggling the same thing, because food became God. Right? It's the exact same thing that happens with the overeating. Food becomes God. In this case, food becomes God. All food has its place. And if you have a guilt reaction to some kind of food, be very careful, because that means that your diet, your restriction is God. Does that make sense? So be very, very careful with that. I'm not saying that you should necessarily eat all of those things. I'm not saying you should take part in all those things. That's fine to avoid those things. But if you have a deep-seated guilt, then that's because this is the boss telling you you shouldn't be doing this. You all with me here? And the only thing that should be the boss is God. Okay? So we have to be careful with these things. That food is in its place. Food is a good thing. It's a beneficial thing. It's something God's given us. But food is not God. And all food can have its place. If I'm starving, I'm going to eat honey if I'm keto or not, right? Okay? It doesn't matter, okay? Food is fine. So, number one, the warnings against undereating. The reasons people undereat. The reasons for undereating. And again, this is also to kind of provide an answer to some of these things. First off, body image issues. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, a very familiar verse, but man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And the reality is, a lot of times, especially young ladies tend to struggle, especially with the anorexia side, and they tend to avoid eating, and it starts off as diets, and these diets become obsessive and then eventually become everything, okay? But the real reason at the heart of it is because they want to look like the model, or they want to look like this person, or they want to look like that person. Can I tell you, the reality is, folks, that should not be our focus. That should not be our reality. God's priority is the heart, right? I'm fine with taking care of the outside. It's good to take care of the outside. But if the outside is God, if the outside is the priority, then there's a problem. Do you see my focus here? My focus is an internal focus because that's God's focus, okay? And either side of the spectrum you're on, either side of the seesaw, you have to make sure that an inward focus is the priority, not the external. That you're not focusing on what your body wants. You're not focusing on what other people want. You're focusing on what God wants and what God prioritizes. God looks on the heart, so therefore that's what I should prioritize. Body image issues, number two, personal concerns. Oftentimes stresses can cause it. We've been preaching through 1 Samuel. If you can remember all the way back to 1 Samuel 1, Hannah, when she was so stressed about having a child and she's worried about it, she's anxious about it. You remember Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, was going and bugging her about how she couldn't have a baby. And she's so stressed about it that she begins not to eat. And Elkanah, her husband, comes to her and says, "Hey, aren't I better to you than three or four sons? I can't remember. Aren't I better to you?" But no, she doesn't eat. She won't eat. Why? Because all these personal concerns are weighing her down and taking all that idea out. Well, finally, you remember, Hannah comes and she goes to the tabernacle and she goes and she pours out her heart, pours out her concerns before the Lord, casts her cares on the Lord. And then Eli comes along and Eli goes and basically totally misreads the circumstance, calls her drunk and all that stuff. But eventually he goes and says, "Hey, God heard your request and God's going to grant you what you asked." And as soon as that happens, the Bible says that Hannah went up, she ate, and she was no more sad. Why? Because for her, the reason she wasn't eating was because the pressure, the personal concern was outweighing that desire. Again, a lot of times with anorexic folks, personal concerns, pressures, struggles, different things like that go and take that away. But can I tell you, the answer to that is not trying to control your eating so much as it is you pouring those concerns on the Lord that cares for you. Going to the Lord and saying, Lord, you care about this, that, or the other. You care about the struggles I have. And when you pour them out, then you find freedom. Then you find release. Then you find hope for the future. And then you can move forward. Number one, body image issues. Focus on God's view. Number two, personal concerns. Focus on God, and again, pour out those concerns to the Lord. Let's all turn to Psalm 107 if we can. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a very interesting passage when we consider this idea. As I was going and studying and trying to help Sarah over the last several months, this passage, I was just searching, and this passage kind of came up. Psalm 107, verses 17 through 20. Number one, body image issues can be a reason for undereating. Number two, personal concerns can be a reason for undereating. Number three, unresolved sin. You say, what? Well, let's look at it. Psalm 107, verse number 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Verse 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. What's it saying? It's saying sometimes the reason for these things is because of some kind of sin that you haven't resolved, you haven't gotten over, you haven't taken care of. And because of that, the guilt in it causes you to react in an inappropriate way. In this passage, verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Specifically, why is that? That's because of guilt. Guilt can do crazy things in our lives, can't it? Guilt can do crazy things. And here it's talking about people that literally go and avoid food and avoid these things because of their transgression, because of their iniquities. Because God is trying to bring them back to where they need to be. I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm not saying that's every time. But what I am saying is clearly from this passage, some of the time it's a sin issue. It's a sin problem that needs to be resolved. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, you will be miserable until you get that sin out. So don't live that way. Find relief, find help by, again, going to the Lord. And then finally, number four, an unfulfilled focus. When we don't go to the Lord with our burdens, when we don't go to the Lord with our requests, when we don't focus on Him, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Verse number 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Nice and simply, folks, here's the reality, okay? Looked at two different behaviors, specifically overeating, gluttony is the Bible word, undereating, what we would think of as eating disorders, often anorexia, bulimia, things along that line. But the reality is, either way, there's one key to both of them. And by the way, this key is pretty much found in any kind of addictive behavior. It's a giving in to what your body wants over what God wants. It's you not listening to what God's word says and instead listening to what your flesh says about you. Oh, well, you won't be pretty or you won't be attractive if you don't lose the weight. Or, oh, well, you need to eat this because it'll help you feel better. Or, oh, you need to do this. Or No. Let's set our baseline. Let's set our reality on what God says. Food is good. Food is fine. We should enjoy it, and that's perfectly fine. But don't give in to the flesh, and certainly don't go and destroy your body for the sake of pleasing your flesh, because it certainly won't be pleasing God. But on the other side, don't undery. Don't turn away from those things. Don't give up on those things that God's given your body, because that's no good either. A verse that says it very well is, he says this. God's word says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You know what that means, that word moderation? It means balance. You know what he's saying? He's saying we as Christians should be the most balanced. Every one of us struggle with balance in our lives. My dad, when I was moving out of the house, right? I was an adult, right? Dad said one thing all the time. He said the toughest thing in life is balance. If you can get balance, you can get everything. The reality is that's what we do, right? We struggle with balance. We go and we go from overeating to undereating. We go from this to that. And it all stems on a focus on God. When we focus on Him, when we do what He wants, the balance comes. But when we focus on our flesh, oh man, our flesh is fickle. Our flesh will change. Don't live in the flesh. If you've taken part in overeating, you're not being healthy with your body, you're not being a good steward of what God's given you, you need to confess it and you need to see God and say, God, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to do what's right. And when it comes to eating, if you've struggled with undereating, then you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's on the external doesn't matter nearly as much as what's on the internal. I'm going to have the right priority. I'm going to live right. Listen, folks, here's the reality in our lives. We need to live that way. You and I may have people that are struggling with this. Right now, we have Sarah that we've been trying to get into a care facility because we've been trying to help her through these things, and she just needs more help than we can give her. She needs someone to constantly be there to help her. We need to be praying for Sarah. But more than that, I say all this to say this. We need to preemptively help our kids, our grandkids, our friends, our family, to help them get the right balance before it's all out of whack. Before you're needing the weight loss surgery, before you're needing the institutionalization to take care of the eating disorder, before you're needing all that, get it right and focus on the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to find balance. I'm going to be moderate. I'm going to do the right thing, not fall off on either side of the road, but go straight ahead and follow you. Does that make sense? That's hopefully a balanced approach when it comes to food and eating. I know I covered a lot here tonight, and I know we covered a lot of verses. Any questions, clarifications, thoughts, comments, anybody at all? I know it's a little late, but if you have any, I'd be glad to answer them. Any thoughts? Setting that balance, setting that focus. Anybody? Yeah, Steve? Yeah, right? Yeah, so in response to that, we'll all go to Golden Corral after the service. So, no. But again, I don't have a problem with the buffet. I was talking to Malcolm after the service. They lost power, so he said that's why he's not here. I don't know, but no. But I was talking to Malcolm after the morning service, and he said, yeah, one of the things that he struggled with, of course, Malcolm had gained a lot of weight. Some of you may not know that, but he gained a lot of weight and lost a lot of it. He said one of the things that he really struggled with was this idea of, you know, not wasting and stuff like that. But the reality is you're just giving into your flesh, right? Again, it's a fleshly focus. Don't live in the flesh. If you live in the Spirit, you'll have freedom and you'll be where you need to be. Focus on the Spirit. Do what's right. Keep adjusting where needs to be adjusted. But remember, hey, your life is all about God. It's not about what your body is. It's about the Lord. So live the right way there. Okay? Let's close in prayer, then we'll let you go. If you have any thoughts or questions or clarifications, I'll be glad to answer them. Again, on live stream, if you have any questions, you can private message me or, of course, respond. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can study it and examine it. Lord, I pray that you would give us help in these things. Lord, for those that are struggling on one side or the other side, Lord, I pray that you would help us to find the balance. And that balance is found in your Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us each step of the way. Lord, when we fall too far on one side, your Spirit corrects us and instructs us and straightens us out. Lord, help us to be walking in the Spirit, to be living in the Spirit. And Father, help us to find the strength and the help and the grace to deal with these behaviors that can be so destructive in our world. Lord, strengthen and help those that are struggling. Lord, I know that we have people that have talked to me about their overeating habits and their struggle with that. Lord, give them grace. Give them help. Help them to not live a life that's giving into their flesh, but living a life that's focused on the Spirit, and focused on what they need to be internally before they deal with the externals, and to find grace and to get back to where they need to be. God, for those that are struggling with the undereating side, Lord, whether it's overly aggressive diets, or Lord, whether it's all the way into anorexia, Lord, I have no idea. But Lord, what I do know is that you don't want that for them. So Lord, help them to find the peace and, again, the balance that only you can provide. Strengthen and help us in this topic, a topic that, frankly, is not discussed nearly as much as it probably should be. Lord, help us to find the balance that we need in our lives. Well, thank you. Dismiss with your blessing. Give us safety as we go. Be with those that are still struggling with health needs, Becca especially. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.